I want to ask a question this morning, and it has a short answer, but I'm going to talk about it a few moments. But it's something that's very, very important, very, very fundamental. And the question is simply, can God raise the dead? Can God raise the dead? Yes, it would require a miracle. We're speaking of the miraculous here in raising the dead. And I'm not asking if he'll do it today, but I'm asking you, does God have the power to raise the dead? And it's a central cornerstone of the Christian faith. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and notice, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Do you believe God can raise the dead? If not, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And Paul says there's some consequences to that. If God does not have the power to raise the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, it's vain. And your faith also is empty, vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Obviously, Paul's answer to this question, can God raise the dead, is an emphatic yes. The power of God raised Christ from the dead. And God's power, as demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus, is the guaranteed proof that when Jesus comes again, the dead will be raised. And that's what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits meaning the first of many more to come. But all that hinges on the fact that Christ is risen from the dead, that God does have the power to raise the dead. John 5, 28, Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So can God raise the dead? Because there is a God, and because the Bible is God's word, I believe God has the power to raise the dead. And I hope that you have that faith and confidence as well. And I'm not saying that he'll do it right now, today. He will do it when Jesus comes again. And that may be today. Only God knows when Jesus will return. But if Jesus does not return today, I don't believe God will raise people up from the dead today. Why? Not because God doesn't have the power to do it, but because he's looking for faith. He's wanting us to trust him and to trust his power, even when he doesn't perform miracles right in front of our eyes. But just because Jesus may not return today and raise the dead does not mean that God is not at work. I believe God is at work today. And his primary work is done on the inside. His greatest work, I believe, is done on the inside of us. Not outside, but that work is just as powerful as raising the dead. But he's not going to work in us without our cooperation. So I want to ask you again, personally, do you believe that God can raise the dead. Philippians chapter 3. I want to ask you to open your Bibles there. Philippians chapter 3. When Paul met Christ and became a Christian, his value system changed. There were some things in his life that he had counted valuable that now that he had met Christ and become a Christian were no longer valuable. There were things that were of greater value to him. He speaks of his losses in the first 7 verses. Notice in verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. We can go back and read the first 6 verses and see those things that were really spiritual achievements for the Jew that any Jew would love to have in his spiritual resume. But Paul looks at these things and he says, what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Because then he speaks about his gains, beginning in verse 8. And he gained so much more than he lost. He gained the knowledge of Christ, verse 8. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. This knowledge of Christ Jesus is more than knowledge about Christ. It's more than a knowing facts about Jesus, that he was born of a virgin and so forth. But it indicates personal knowledge. It's not simply intellectual knowledge, but it's personal experience of another person. The verb indicates the most intimate knowledge of a person. It's not Paul's aim to know about Christ, but personally to know Christ. That was gained to him. The righteousness of Christ was gained to Paul. His desire was to be found in him, verse 9, not having his own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He had had a personal righteousness that was established by doing the best that he could to observe all the laws of Moses. But the thing about that, not only with Paul, but for everyone who tried to do that, is they fell short. And the law could do nothing but condemn them because of that and point out that they were sinners. But Paul wants to be found in Christ. Why? Because in Christ he recognizes that because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and when we respond in obedience, trusting obedience to his message, the gospel, then God sees the righteousness of Christ when he looks at us. When we're in Christ, we have his righteousness. That was a gain to Paul when he gained Christ. But he also gained the fellowship of Christ. Verses 10 and 11. Again, we see Paul's desire here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And that last part, I think he's looking forward to when Jesus comes again, and he wants to be raised by the power of God, assuming that he will have died then, that he be raised by the power of God in the resurrection of the dead. But I want to go back to verse 10 and highlight a phrase for you. It's the reason why I ask, do you believe that God can raise the dead? Paul says that he wants to know the power of his resurrection. Paul wants to know. He wants to experience the power of Jesus' resurrection. I want to come back to that, but I want to highlight a prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 for the Christians there at Ephesus, beginning with verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what is his prayer? Here we go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, number one, What is the hope of his calling? Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Number three, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? What is that greatness of his power toward us who believe? Read on. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What's Paul praying? That they might know, that these Christians might know the hope of the calling of Christ. That they might know about the richness of the inheritance that awaits them. And that they might know that power, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What power is that? It's the power that raised Christ from the dead. He prayed that those Christians would understand, would know about how great that power is. And I said all that to say this. Well, William Barclay, I think, states it well. For Paul, the resurrection was not simply a past event in history, however amazing. It was not simply something which had happened to Jesus, however important it was for him. It was a dynamic power which operated in the life of the individual Christian. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I believe he has reference to his own life in the here and now. I want to know the power of his resurrection. He prayed that these Christians might experience that same power in their own lives. What power? The same power that raised Christ from the dead. He also prayed Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 16. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying that they might be strengthened in the inner man. Strengthened with what? I suggest is the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So his benediction would be, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? That works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe that God can raise the dead? And if he can raise the dead, can't he help us in the challenges that we have in this life? I want to ask some more questions based upon your answer to this question. Do you believe that Christ, that God can raise the dead? If God can raise the dead, can't he raise up one who is dead in sin? Ephesians chapter 2. You, he says, he made alive. He raised, if you will, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God... And whenever you see that phrase, but God, something's about to change. It's a powerful change. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. If God can raise the dead, he can give new life to those who are dead in sin by that same power that raised Christ from the dead. It doesn't matter what you have done, how far you believe you have fallen. If God can raise the dead, he can raise you up. He can give you new life. He can forgive your sins by the blood of Jesus. Number two, if God can raise the dead, can't he empower one who is struggling with sin? And I speak this to those who say, well, I'm entrapped in this sin and I'm overcome by it and I don't believe I can break free of it. Well, no, you can't. But if God can raise the dead, can he help you overcome sin? Listen to Romans 8. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Folks, if God can raise the dead, he can help you overcome sin. Number three, since God can raise the dead, can't he enable us to do what he's called us to do? Can't he? There may be some commands we see in Scripture. I just can't do that. I can't forgive that person who's hurt me deeply. You just don't understand what that person has done to me. And God expects me to forgive him, to forgive her. I can't do that. Do you believe God can raise the dead? If you believe God can raise the dead, then can't he help you do what he's called you to do? Can't he give you the strength, the humility, the desire to forgive? Especially in what we see that he's done that for us. Can't that empower us to do that for someone else? And shouldn't it? If God can raise the dead, can't he revive a dying marriage? Do you believe God can raise the dead? But the love is gone. I just don't feel it anymore. Jesus said to a church in Revelation 2, Church of Laodicea, I have this against you. You have left your first love. The love has waned. They don't feel it anymore. And by extension, it may be that in our relationships, we just don't feel it anymore. We've left our second love, if you will. But do you believe God can raise the dead? And if God can raise the dead, can't he revive, rekindle the love even in your relationships? Can't he? By the way, Jesus said to these Christians whose love had waned, remember therefore from where have you fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Wouldn't he say something similar to us? If our love has waned in our marriages and our families, remember from where you've fallen, repent, change your ways and start loving again. I can't do that. Don't you think God can help you? If God can raise the dead, surely he can revive a dying marriage. If God can raise the dead, can't he give us hope beyond the grave? For our citizenship, Paul says to the Philippians, is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to what? According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, like subdue death. The power that will transform our bodies is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. God has the power to raise the dead. Can't he give us hope beyond the grave? I believe he has that power. And I believe that same power he'll use to help us do what he's called us to do. He'll not overpower us, but he will empower us to do his will if, and it's a big if we'll cooperate with him. There's where the difference is, folks. You can say, I believe that God has the power to raise the dead. I believe that God has the power to help me do what he wants me to do. But I can say that. But unless I'm willing to humbly submit to his will, I can't expect to do it. Do you believe that God can raise the dead? If you do, won't you submit to him today? He can give you new life today. No matter how far into sin we've fallen, if God can raise the dead, he can raise you up, forgive you through the blood of Jesus, if we'll submit to him on his terms. And God has the power to help us do what he's called us to do if we'll cooperate with him. And that may mean that as Christians, that we have to do, that we have to turn from our sin. That's exactly what it'll mean. We'll confess it and we'll ask God to forgive us, but also to help us. And he will, because he has that power. If you need to come to Jesus this morning, please come right now as we stand and sing.